Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Reality is, look, it sucks. The season is over. It's been a hell of a year, an up and down season at times, and there was obviously
Royals did. Anybody who's going to come in here and tell me that it's not a successful season after 56 losses just isn't paying attention to the way this team bounced back from that. I also think that we talk about there's really two ways things can go after this typically, and that is, did you overachieve and then you now have a fallback, or were you at the beginning of something more special like we saw in 13 or 14 for the Royals, or at other times in different franchises where they got back on schedule quick? And I think this season, what I asked for, it just depends. We moved the goalpost on this team probably 10 times this year, and it's still a successful season. Going into the year, Gold, if you and I were sitting in a private conversation in April, we'd have said, can you get us to, I'm not kidding, can you get us to Memorial Day? Was the first marker of successful season. Then it was, can you get us to the 4th of July? That was exciting. Can you get us to the beginning of the Chiefs season now? But then as that got closer, it was like, can you really compete for the division? Can you be a playoff team? Can you actually do this thing? And then when you get in the playoffs, it was, can you win a series? Mm-hmm. And that was a highly competitive Yankees series in which I think the team with more talent won. Like it or not, I think that's what it kind of boiled down to. So for as many times as we change the expectations for the Royals this season, and rightfully so, massive success this season. I don't care, man, you win 50 more games in any given, 30 more, and I don't 50, but 30 more games in any given season, I'm going to feel pretty good about it. And some of the young players who they're going to be counting on for years are the biggest reasons why. And that make you feel better? Vinny, Bobby, like I understand Salvi had a resurgent year, and he's a bit of an older player, but you know, Singer maybe had his best year as a starter.
Well, look at, I mean, Lucas Hirsegg, you know, is another individual they acquired, as we all know.
Reagan's,
and they have him
up
for multiple years of control going forward. So you would like to think going into next season, we don't even have to question anything about what you're getting at the closer spot going in. You know, these are all stuff we'll talk about plenty in the months ahead in the offseason. But like heading into this season, we obviously weren't sure who would have the definitive closer role. Ultimately, it ended up being Hirsegg, and he was one of the best closers in baseball down the stretch of the season. I know last night he didn't end his season the way he wanted to either, individually, I'm sure, too. But we talked about him probably coming in the fifth inning, and sure enough, he came in the fifth inning. But that was what was on the line. Like, he was still your best option. I understand he ends up giving up a run, but it was understandable why they went to that spot. Just because stuff doesn't always work out doesn't mean it still wasn't the right decision. It was the right decision to go to Hirsegg there. Unfortunately, again, you said it. I think the Yankees, let's just be honest, they were the better team in the series.
I think that's what it really boils down to. If you look at the depth of their lineup, if you look at the way that their bullpen performed, and their ace, Gerrit Cole, got it done twice. In the first game, he wasn't like overly, but he was just as good as the Royal starter. And in the second game, he dominated.
He was awesome last night.
He
was awesome last night, yeah.
I went back and watched some of the pitches just to see, because I think the initial thing you get from Royals fans after that game is they need to put the ball and play more. Too much swing and miss. Chasing too much. Chasing at about an average rate. Gerrit Cole had really good stuff yesterday, and that's that. But I really go back to last year. 2 years ago was an evaluation year. They said, we're going to evaluate who's good and who's not, and then we're going to start this season fresh, and we're going to make those decisions. And the players that they stuck with, the ones that they decided were good enough and still young, all gave them the benefit of paying them off for that service. Vinny, Michael Massey, Brady Singer. Look, they moved off of Daniel Lynch right as a starter, and instead he came in later in the season in the bullpen. The guy, Kyle Isbell, the players they stuck around after doing a full evaluation year paid off by proving to them that they had enough talent that if you spent a little bit of money around them, that there was going to be more than enough. And so I just can't. I don't know, man. I'd hate to look at this, like anybody look at this and be like, I can't. Did I want him to go further? Am I disappointed this morning?
But now what's nice is,
I wanted them to win the World Series like everyone else.
But now it elevates everything going forward. You know, and that's what we'll talk about here in 15 minutes or so about what next year could be in terms of that. But that's the thing. Because of this season that they had, Now it does elevate everything. I mean, how many times did we hear from fans about, hey, just be competitive, just get there? Okay, now there's a feeling that is what you're expected to do. And Bobby Wood Jr. kind of echoed that in the clubhouse. You know, now this is kind of the baseline of what people are going to expect and want. Not a one-off type of performance. And to your point a little bit about the core group of guys, there are plenty of decisions that have to be made in the offseason. There will be a lot of new faces still, just the way baseball works. And think about, because of the injuries, I mean, guys like Tommy Pham, et cetera, they brought in, those guys aren't going to be on this team next year, I don't think.
Yuli,
you know,
and Tommy. Like, the stuff like, Tommy Pham's really talking me into maybe
I wouldn't mind Tommy back on the team.
Wouldn't mind a little one-year deal?
Yeah, wouldn't mind a Tommy Pham on the team. Yuli, obviously, he's 40 years old. I mean, give him credit. He was fantastic in the work that he gave them, considering everything in the short time with the team. But that's more of those, you just, you know, that was a September October fling, Cody.
But the guys, yeah. it was cuffing season for them. Is that baseball? It's earlier than normal, right? Mm-hmm. Typically that's like a November December problem in the dating world. This in baseball, it's earlier, right?
That's right.
August,
that's right.
September is when
but let's be honest, that's what it was for some of those guys. You know, I appreciate it. You know, we had a good time, you know, and unfortunately
it was nice seeing you. I had a great time. Yeah. I don't think it's going to work out in the long haul,
but there's a lot of pieces that will be back as well. Here is what Bobby, who obviously was emotional after the game, had to say about this season and just kind of moving forward.
It's just motivation. That's where we want to be. And so just got to keep working, get better each and every day. And so I think the best is yet to come for this team. We showed. I don't think we were supposed to be in this situation here, but we were. And we were. So it's just, we got a special team. So going to keep riding it out.
How do you summarize just this series?
It's tough. It's not what you want. That's really it. It just kind of feels like you let a lot of people down whenever you do things like this, but it's part of the game. Kind of something that will light a torch in you and leave you a bad taste for the future, because now for the Kansas City Royals baseball, this is what we want. This is what we're going to do every year. We're in postseason. Now it's how far are we going to go? It's not how we're going to get there. It's how far we're going to go. And so that's what we're going to work for, and that's what we're going to do.
Bobby, what was the...
And, of course, the image that everybody saw either at the game or you've seen it on social media, and of course, him watching the celebration. We've seen that with other star athletes in sports and the motivation that can potentially provide. Sit there and watch another team celebrate on your field. And the same thing we've talked about with Stephon Diggs watching the Chiefs celebrate. And what that does for star players and something that they will have in the... And now Bobby will have... that image in his mind, really the rest of his career, not just going in to next season, but there's a chance some of the great ones, like that is that moment right there is something you would like to think will fuel his entire offseason and will fuel the rest of his career, knowing that feeling that he felt right in that moment and watching the New York freaking Yankees celebrate on his field.
I would tell Bobby, similar to what I'm sure other people would tell him after that, like, he didn't let anybody down. I mean, you know,
dude's going to finish second in MVP. He's going to
had an incredible year and you drug this team back into playoff baseball when we did not think it was possible going into the year. Like, I was looking to 72, 73 wins. I think we all predicted 75, 6, 7 wins on this show before the season. I would have taken that. I'd have felt fine about that. So, yeah, no one's disappointed in Bobby. There's a famous photo of George Brett sitting in Kauffman Stadium with his head holding on, you know, just sitting in his own dugout. Only person still left out there. I like the people that use that to motivate them. I will say at the very beginning of that clip, you can hear what is that, like clapping sound? I thought that there was a lot of surprisingly, not like positive, but good energy amongst teammates, where Vinny Pasquantino had explained to us after, which changes the math a little bit here. When you're a bad team, you get kind of months to prepare for the end of, this is the end of this team. These are the friends I've made. You know, maybe this, you know, like you get kind of time to prepare and to process for that moment. But because your plan is to keep playing baseball until the end of that moment where it's like, man, this was a great, and there were guys like, you had a great year. Thank you for everything. Like,
there was a lot of embracing.
Amongst, the teammates and the staff and some of the other people, I thought it was really nice to see inside of the clubhouse, even though obviously the result of it was incredibly disappointing because of, you know, when you get this far, the only thing left to do is be like, well, I want to win it. To be one of the final 8 teams in Major League Baseball this year is a hell of an accomplishment. But next year, Well, you and I say the same thing. They get to an ALDS and then lose in four games. Well, no, you rose the expectation. And that's a good, by the way, we always talk about it like it's a bad thing. Like, well, you got higher expectations. That's a great thing. Are you kidding me? Who doesn't want higher expectations of what their performance is going to be? Bad franchises, loser teams are the ones that don't have any expectation or like, well, just I hope we have fun today, kids. No. We want to think that next year needs to be at least the ALCS.
Oh, the way the season is evaluated,
win more games.
The way next season is evaluated will be completely different than the way people evaluated fans and media, et cetera, evaluated this season. You know, someone on the text line 913-586-7965 said, "How come you guys aren't calling out Bobby and Salvi?" I mean, you missed the start of the show. You missed yesterday as well. We've acknowledged 2-3-4 in the lineup simply did not do enough in this series. Yeah. I don't know what you want me to like just yell into the microphone for 4 hours about it, but we said yesterday, said it today, all ready to start the show. Yesterday, going into the game, they had to get more from Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi, and if they don't, because I don't think they win the game. Said it yesterday on the show, and they started the show today.
They got one RBI from Vinny,
plain and simple.
But they didn't get enough out of Salvi and Bobby, and they didn't get enough.
We acknowledge it wasn't good enough. I don't know what you mean. You want me to just be angry and yell?
I guess the other part of this is like it's not like beating a man while they're down, but like part of it is, do you think that they don't know that? Like, do you think I need to come up? Do you think I need to tell the audience that? Like, if you're listening to this show, if you watched those games, if you know those people, it doesn't matter. Do you think that Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi don't know that they didn't do enough in that series? Do the listeners not know? Do you not, we all know. We know where the pitfalls were that they came up short. But because we talked about what eventually cost them this series, and we did to open the show, and we will as the show goes on, I don't want to get lost in the fact that this was still an incredible year. Like it or not, this was an incredible season. A much better season than any of us were anticipating, with some guys who really emerged to be very good players for the Royals. Part of this is just selfishness. I get it. I am just like you. Over the last 10 years, unfortunately, Kansas City has ruined us a little bit. Kansas City has made us all believe that anytime your team makes a postseason, they just win the championship. The end. That's just like 90% of the time, right? 95% of the time. This feels like the energy after the Chiefs lost that game to Cincinnati. The only time they didn't at least make it to the Super Bowl where they're like, the hell is this? You're like, what do you mean? What about all the other titles or all the other times they go there or the things in between it? Sometimes your team doesn't win the championship. And that doesn't mean everything about the year was wrong.
And maybe this is it. And we were going to talk about it in the next segment, but then we'll maybe get into some of the stuff in the moves in the future and move some stuff around. But since we're kind of already talking about it here a little bit, I mean, the reason why maybe you're like, why am I not all upset and pissed? I'm obviously disappointed. Because you know what? It doesn't feel like this is going to be a one and done type of thing. We're going to have to wait another decade to get back to the postseason and see this team. That's why, frankly, like that's why Bobby Witt Jr. not going anywhere. Cole Reagan's not going anywhere. Vinny Pasquantino not going anywhere. Like, I don't know what kind of season Salvi will have next year, but Salvi will be on this team next year. Lucas Sursek will be on this team next year. Some other guys that'll move around, I'm sure.
That happens.
Right? But like Seth Lugo, did I mention him? He'll be on this team next year. Michael Wacha, we'll see. He might opt out, but doesn't mean he can't come back. Like, so this to me is not a, oh my gosh, they made the playoffs. Thank you. Finally, now we got to wait another 7 years. I'm not guaranteeing they're in the playoffs next year. I would think that they've got a great chance to be there. But the idea of why it's not so maddening, especially the performance from three of those guys, is because you said it. One, that's why they got to this point. But also, I think they're going to, one, they're going to have to, but I think there'll be a huge reason why they're back in the postseason potentially next year. It does. I don't think it's like 14 or 15, and it's like, wow.
We knew that
Haas and Kane and some of these other guys were going to be gone in a year or two. You just knew, right? You just knew contracts were contracts, and that's not the case with the huge pieces of why they're in this spot. I think the only exception to what I just said would be Michael Wacha, and we don't know. We don't know what the future holds for him.
It kind of depends. It's up to him, obviously, as he does that. But Bobby Witt Jr. signed a 10-year contract. Vinny Pasquantino is not a free agent for this team until 2029, I think, because of all the arbitration-eligible years. And when he was called up to the big leagues, he becomes arbitration-eligible next year. So good for Vinny. He'll get a raise, and a much-deserved one at that. But yeah. No, I'm with you, Gold. I just think if you look at this roster, and there's a lot of different ways, it could be easy to just like have a full funeral today, right? And we could be New York-based or Philly-based sports fans, and we could bury the entire team for disappointing us. But I just don't. They didn't disappoint me. They lost a playoff series against I think maybe a better team, you know?
Well, and, I think they definitely are the better team. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious.
And they, but if it was off the heels of an impressive season based on what the expectations were from the outside looking in. I'm glad they had higher expectations for themselves, and they were right, and we were wrong, and all of those things that go in there. But yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna wallow in it today, I guess, is part of it, because I'm still impressed by the season they
have. You ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ad.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.